ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. The Stephanie Miller Show. Kingmaker. I know. I know. A lot of the, Mama, you were right as usual, emails. I know. I know.
Oh, boy.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. 6 minutes after the hour. I'm always insufferable, the show after I'm right. But something. I've been saying forever.
Mm-hmm.
And that is Senator Joe Sestak, is what I've been saying.
Well,
StephanieMiller.com, the website. Check it out. You can email us all there. Executive producer, Crystal Boyd. Voice deity. Jim Ward or me, Stephanie Miller. Yes, Chris.
He still might have a little bit of a tough, campaign for November. So I don't know that I would count him as Senator Joe Sestak yet.
I got your common wisdom right here. It's a Wednesday, so you know what that means, everybody.
Steffi.
Oh, what's that heavy breathing I hear? Why? Could it be? Yes. Hump days with Hal Sparks. Yes! Yes!
Oh,
good
yeah.
morning, Hal Sparks.
Hiya. We get to both gloat, which is a lot of fun.
It's doubly irritating and yet fun.
Yes, right.
There's a lot, obviously, to talk about from yesterday, but, I've heard Ed Schultz talk about this yesterday, too. I hope what the White House takes from this is that people want real Democrats and Democrats with spine. They don't want the Arlen Specters and Blanche Lincolns and whatever. So Blanche Lincoln's going to be a runoff, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So that means we don't need, but that's obviously very, very close.
It is. They have to have, I think it's a 50% margin in their primaries to make her go through. And it was 46 to 44, which just says to me that any of the people, and because there was a third party who got a couple of votes, actually got, I think, 12% or something along those lines,
mm-hmm.
8% or whatever.
Right.
Anyways, he is going to, all those votes aren't going to go Blanche Lincoln's way.
Right.
They're not going to go our way.
Well, yeah. I mean, I think... And this is what we've been screaming about for months, particularly during the health care debate, is I think I do get it. The whole people are sick of Washington, but I think it's because they're sick of weenie Democrats, too, that aren't doing what they elected us in landslides to do.
Right.
And
have to know that that's a whole group that's been there for quite a long time. They were not part of the Obama revolution of any sort. There's a lot of entrenched Democrats who are essentially part of the problem. They've been holding back a lot of the progressive.
Right. But that's my point. The Blanche Lincoln and the Arlen Specters, they're part of the problem. They're part of the deal making just to get it done. And,
exactly.
You know, look how watered down the health care got. And the one thing that I'm taking heart in is this financial reform.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of hilarious, isn't it? So the Republican strategy of trying to slow things down is backfiring on them. The bill just keeps getting stronger. And now they're like, crap.
Right.
So let's hurry up and vote on this, so we'll see. I mean, between that and Mitch McPoor, Yertle the Turtle, God.
Yeah, do you think they're going to be...
This candidate get thumped by 30 points.
Seriously, you think they're going to be talking about that the way they're going to go, Specter in Pennsylvania was a loss for Obama. That's clear because he didn't pull out all the stops. And there's going to be a lot of finger-pointing at the White House. They're going to be using a lot of that language. When the truth is, McConnell just went down hard in Kentucky. Was really had his political backside handed to him.
And by the way, FYI, GTK, write it down, Rand Paul, a little crazy.
Yeah.
A little bit.
Well, you know why he's actually gotten as far as he has. Not because of the power of the Tea Party. It's because rednecks love a monarchy. And they like the idea of father to son kind of things. It worked really well with, what was that guy who was around for the last 8 years and his dad? But it's amazing how cool they are with the idea of father to son political dynasty.
It's, right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. That whole thing. We'll see how that all goes. But, the teabag thing, I think like you say, in both places, it's anti-establishment. Mitch McConnell's the establishment. Mm-hmm. Arlen Specter's the establishment. I love Orrin Hatch, apparently, the other day tried to say, I'm not part of D.C.
What? You've been there
That's
forever.
That's the new thing. You've been there for 30 years. How are you not? No, I'm not. Yeah, it's how people are spinning that they're not part of the whole problem. All right. So, Hal Sparks, are you video streaming on the HalSparks.com?
I am, or at ustream.tv/HalSparksLive.
Fabulous.
Yeah, it's a good sign. All right.
All right. Hal in the L.A. studio with Chris LaVoy, and then coming up shortly, birthday boy Jim Ward.
Yeah.
ACA
yeah.
extraordinaire will be in the L.A. studio
with us
as well.
All kinds of things planned for him. None of them work on radio, a woman jumping
except
out
for the,
of a
cake. Well, the strippers will work on video.
Oh, that's true.
Because I'm not there, thank so goodness. It's going to be like a friggin' frat house.
Yeah, we had to hire somebody, because normally you would be our resident slut for those kind of things. You know, turn the camera on and bounce, go wow, wow.
Yeah.
But, yeah, you're all the way over and...
Yeah, the Hal Kim makes me slutty.
It's true. No, it brings out the slutty. It doesn't make you anything.
So, Christopher, I got more hate mail yesterday than usual, and I always wonder what's up. And then I find out what's up. Rush mentioned me again.
Yes.
Because he wants to date me.
Do
he
you.
Wants to hold me and kiss me. Pardon?
Oh, I have to do you.
That's frightening.
Yes. Linda, the first one to, hi, Steph and Chris. I was listening to Rush. Rush mentioned Stephanie as a liberal radio host that said God is a Democrat regarding the oil spill. Mm-hmm. He was talking about Ted Turner as the second liberal to mention this. All right, Rush, make sure you say my name right. Chris,
we have that.
Oh, we do?
I believe I was making what's known as a joke about, because I think we mentioned about after the Bobby Jindal said hurricane monitoring is crazy, then volcano monitoring, pardon me.
Right.
That then one blew almost immediately after he...
which proves that God is Democrat.
Right.
Yes.
As much as,
yes. This giant epic oil spill, I'm not happy about it, clearly, but I guess that would be the implication, right, that I was...
Right, sure. That works. Yeah, because people really believe that anyone is happy about this. It's environmental terrorism, the Democrats, the liberals, my friends. Yeah. We were hoping for this. Oh, man.
You do have the clip already.
Yes.
All right.
Well, he plays a Ted Turner clip first, and then he goes into it. So here we go.
Oh, I think maybe we ought to just leave the call on the ground.
Ooh. It's the dance remix.
Wow.
I don't know what
that is. We might have a little bit of a problem with the CD. I might have to burn another one.
Oh.
You know why?
Why?
Because God's a Democrat.
God is a Democrat.
Right.
We will have that for you a little bit later on.
And the Lord did say, Rush Limbaugh has too much airtime as it is.
All right, so lots to get to. Oh, Hal, after I spent part of the Sunday with you at the AIDS walk here in New York, then I spent the other half of the day with my friend with her kids, her 3 and her 6-year-old, which was...
yeah.
Great. and I was saying the one thing I've noticed is the difference between people with kids and without kids. People with kids need a lot of hard liquor. Have you noticed that, Chris? She asked for a margarita the second we got into my apartment. And then last week, my friend with 6 kids asked for vodka. She wasn't even in the door yet. And I don't even have hard liquor. I was like, wine's not all right.
I don't need kids to have hard liquor.
Apparently, I'm just, now that I'm thinking back, I'm not sure how much Beef Eater's gin it took from my mom to raise us, but it was a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just guessing as I recall, it was quite a bit.
Was it straight gin or was it like gin and tonic?
Well, it had a little dog hair in it.
Gin and dog hair. Little hair of the dog.
That's the literal, that's the mixed drink that you have at Steph's house.
Something was in there, but not much else, I don't think. Okay. Joe writes about kids. Joe writes, Dear Steph, your parents ruined the first half of your life and your kids ruined the second half. I think this is a Clarence Darrow quote. You're a fan of DC, Joe. All right. I know. It seems... Fine, we went to the, Chris, what's the thing for kids in the park?
The playground.
Playground.
Yeah, it's a bark park for kids.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yes. Yeah. Uh-huh. It's
To put it in terms that you would understand.
No, but my friend, I understand
when kids
what she
used to play
she
with
said
balls.
The alcohol could be because she said, I don't know how you know, the worry thing. Like, how you, because if I were a parent, I said, if I were a parent, this is one of the many thousand reasons I'm not, I would make my kid live in, like, that plastic bubble that Judge Travolta lived in. I would just tell them they have some disease and they can't. You know, get out until they're.
But it would be a giant rolling bubble that the dogs could chase because you wouldn't
like
want to take away from their
bubble.
Fun. Right, totally.
Yeah. No, because I understand. I don't know how you get past the worry when you're a parent. Because she was like, you know, yes, they've fallen off stuff in the playground. And then she asked me, is this the only gate out? Because I'm like, trust me, I've seen every kidnapping movie. I know I've watched the Mel Gibson movies. I understand.
Oh, you don't even. The kids will kidnap themselves.
Yeah.
I remember the first time, like. Having my experience raising a child, when she was 2 and she got ahead of herself on the leash with the dog, and she was like, it was like you could see it in slow motion. This is what happens when you're parenting. She's literally got the dog leash wrapped around her feet. You can see it coiled around her ankles, and she goes, "Watch, I can run with the dog." And you're like, No!
No! Slow motion.
And she just, it
it's
caught
like
her.
Like an old western.
Yeah.
No!
It caught her feet and she hit the cement and knocked a tooth out and just like every cell in my body screamed.
I'm too high strung as it is. There's no way
my
I
God.
Have kids.
No, no,
I'm
no.
like, it was, I was only with him for a couple hours and I.
You like the kids you can feed out of a bowl and that you can walk twice a day and leave unattended for 7 hours at a time.
Well, no, here's, and you know my dogs, Hal, they're fairly large.
They're humans. They're superior animals. They're right out of Narnia. Yeah.
Yes.
They are.
They are
at
the
never-ending
story dogs. Anyway, but so I was, she was, you know, the kids wanted to walk them and, you know, I was like, is that all right? She goes, well, I didn't mean just give them to them and let them go. Like I had to actually hold the leash, so I was like the emergency leash holder, and then they were sort of fake walking them,
right.
You know.
Stress. Oh, God. I keep expecting.
By the way, a woman came up to us in the park and said, do you know where there's a bathroom near here? And I'm like, well, I don't go in here. My dogs do, but would you like a bag?
Prepared.
I don't prepare for the dogs. I don't. Other than that, humans, I don't know. All right.
That was very helpful.
Thank you. All right, lots to get to. Our post-primary analysis and yours as we continue. 17. Also, we have a representative, Donna Edwards. We have Carl Frisch from Media Matters.
Yay.
And we have Rita Cosby live all in hour three here in the New York Bureau with Mama. So we have a big, big show. 17 minutes after the hour. Right back with more Hump Days with Hal on the Stephanie Miller Show.
I have never experienced the hostility that this little show, which I think is a charming show, is engendering in the community.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Don't you wish your girlfriend was fun like
Stephanie Miller.
Don't you?
Hal is shaking his booty in his video cam.
Mm.
Nope.
Yeah, this is true. I admit to it openly. I'm not afraid.
See, the Hal cam even makes Hal slutty.
Yeah.
You can't help yourself.
It's just when you get on camera, people will act a fool. That was the root of reality television. They just went,
exactly.
You mean we don't even have to make them do stuff? They'll just come on and act like idiots? Yeah, it's the magic of cameras.
Yes. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. 23 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number toll free from anywhere. Lou, I was distracted by some shiny celebrity news.
What?
Ooh.
John Travolta and his wife are expecting a baby.
Good for them.
Her eggs are as old as mine. That's very exciting.
They're expecting a baby to what? I'm just kidding.
I think it's good because I think I just read yesterday that he lost his two dogs.
I was just going to say, well, first of all, they lost their son like a year ago. But you know me. I'm a dog mom, and I'm like reading the story horrified.
Right.
Somebody was walking them at
an airport.
Two small dogs on leashes were taken for a walk by someone who's not a family member. An airport service pickup truck was approaching the airplane to service the aircraft and did not see the dogs. They were struck and killed. See, I'm telling you, this is why I flew my dogs on Pet Airways, everybody.
Yes.
Wow.
Oh, I'm just telling you, you hear like nightmare stories sometimes. Commercial airlines, you know, not on purpose, obviously, but forget to pressurize or you know, heat or air condition properly, or you know, dogs have gotten away like that on the runway. I'm just like, oh God. Anyway, I just confirmed yesterday.
Doesn't he own his own plane?
That's what I was wondering.
But you know, there's airport staff still services that plane.
Yeah,
you know, so.
Yeah, I don't know. There's no.
He doesn't do all the servicing of it himself.
Mm-hmm. Let's go to Tucker in Minneapolis on the Rand Paul win. Hello, Tucker.
Hey, Stephanie. How are you?
Good. Go ahead.
Yeah, I'll tell you, the Halcast and the Stepcast are perfect during the breaks. So it's a lot of fun. Hey, I just wanted to call the media. I'm sorry. My speakerphone. Is it okay?
Well, I'd prefer if you talk
you sound
to me like a person.
A bit like an astronaut. Yeah,
that's fine. There, thank you.
Thank
sorry
you.
About that.
Yes.
Anyway, the narrative, they still want to try to make it about tea parties and about incumbents.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and this is what's really driving me crazy. They're still trying to define this Tea Party movement as something that's hurting the Democrats. I think the Tea Party is the greatest thing in the world for the Democrats.
This is what I've been saying, and as you know, I'm historically right.
You are.
This is what I'm saying. It's basically, it is a far-right fringe thing that is pushing mainstream Republicans to the far right. Am I right?
But Yeah, look at the Democrats that lost. Arlen Specter.
Right.
We're sad to lose Arlen
Seriously.
Specter.
Yeah,
no,
right.
I mean, you know, the only impact Arlen Specter has had is the magic bullet theory.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, Jim will appreciate
and
that.
And he voted Republican for 30 years.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
Yes, he ticked Jim off because of the single bullet thing. He ticks me off because of the way he treated Anita Hill.
Yeah. Bye, yeah. Arlen Specter. Thank you. Goodbye. I mean, you know, the biggest race that is so indicative is Murtha's seat. That's why the White House was paying attention to it. That Murtha's seat was the key for what's going on, and that's the real indicator
right.
for what's happening.
Well, you know, and Tucker, I think it was my buddy Ed Schultz I heard saying this yesterday, but this is also what we've been saying, is that when you talk about anger, a lot of that anger is coming from the left. If you look
yeah.
at what's happened to Blanche Lincoln and what happened to Arlen Specter, it's because people want Democrats with spine. Why do you think Alan Grayson has gotten such a great response and so much money fundraising? Because mm-hmm. people want Democrats with balls that are not going to water down things like health care, right?
Well, and Republicans want Republicans with ideas. I mean, look at the people that the Republicans are mm-hmm. putting in place. They're putting nutcases like Rand Paul.
Right, right.
I mean, he's going
to
be...
Right, exactly. Good. Let them run farther to the right.
Yeah, look in Minnesota. I mean, our candidate for governor here, Tom Emmer, he makes Tim Pawlenty look like Paul Wellstone.
Oh, my God. Really?
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
I mean, he's a true believer. He's an absolute true believer. So he's a great guy to talk to. He's really entertaining. He's really smart. He doesn't get it all vitriolic. But his just natural tendency is to think that there is no fault within the Republican ideology and the extreme Republican ideology. But
yep, I hear you. I hear you. All right. Charles in Los Angeles on Rand Paul as well. Hello, Charles. Oh, did I do it? You didn't do it right again. I'm sorry. It's my fault. Charles,
okay.
Go ahead.
Okay. Yeah. Rand Paul actually came in third. Mm-hmm. Conway, he won the race, and both him and his opponent got more votes. So that's a credit to the
right.
Democrats out there in Kentucky. What amazes me is just a total lack of media coverage for the Democratic candidates.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, because, again, it's that monarchy aspect of, you know, it's Ron Paul's son, so we're keeping track of it, because Ron Paul won the CPAC poll, and you know, he's a driving force. He's one of the people who gets the base out, supposedly. And Rand is not cut from the same cloth. He is not the, you know, mm-hmm. and quite frankly, the Republican establishment doesn't even want to be behind Ron Paul. They do it holding their nose, and now they're doing it holding their nose going into Kentucky. It's going to be hilarious watching them kind of grin and put their arm around him.
Yeah.
Yeah. By the way, and I was thinking back to it, I think someone mentioned on TV last night about how Rudy Giuliani, you remember how he was like just such an asshat to Ron Paul in the debates?
Yep.
He just mocked him in every debate.
Right.
And then look at Rudy Giuliani's campaign. And by the way, if you need to know anything more about Rudy Giuliani's judgment or George Bush's judgment, their pick for the Department of Homeland Security just went to prison yesterday.
Yeah.
Went to prison. How hilarious is that? The guy George Bush picked to protect our country went in the hole yesterday.
Uh-huh.
Bernie Kerik went into prison yesterday.
As did their their guy from that would oversee the oil spills. He stepped down.
Yeah, he stepped down too.
Yeah.
29 minutes after the hour. Back with Representative Donna Edwards next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Gee, that was fun, but in the future, let's save time and just roll around on gravel.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 34 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number toll free from anywhere. We are joined by Representative Donna Edwards, one of our personal favorites. Good morning, Congresswoman.
Good morning. Great to be with you, Stephanie.
You too. Happy post-primary day.
How about that?
Now, let's get your Insta analysis of what yesterday meant.
Well, I think, you know, I agree with Speaker Pelosi that you've got to judge each individual race and win one district at a time. But I have to tell you, I think for Democrats, it actually was a good day. I mean,
mm-hmm.
you look at that Pennsylvania 12 race with Mark Crutz. really just a slam dunk in that district where
Martha's old seat, right?
Jack Martha's old seat, where there was some real sense that because of the win that McCain had there in the presidential, that this would be a Republican takeover, and that's just not true. Joe Sestak, how about that, huh?
Mm-hmm.
That was some race in Pennsylvania, and I think it really, I mean, he's a terrific guy, and actually will be a strong, solid, progressive Democratic vote in the United States Senate, one we can count on.
Thank you, Representative. That's exactly what we've been saying I've been saying this for a year when people said, oh, there's no way that Joe Sestak, and I said, I think what the frustration is not just with, Washington or Republicans, obstructionist Republicans, but with Democrats like an Arlen Specter or a Blanche Lincoln that are not, progressive Democrats and are not, trying to enact what you and I have talked about a lot, the kind of strong health care reform that I think they were elected to do, right?
Well, I mean, I think that's exactly right. I mean, I look back at my race in 2008 when I beat an eight-term incumbent, and it's the same sentiment that's still out there in the electorate, that people want folks that they can count on. They want authenticity. They want reality. And they want elected leaders who are going to tell them the good news and the bad news without any of the subterfuge. And I think that in Joe Sestak, for example, in that Senate race, what you get there is, you get somebody that is a go-to count-on Democratic vote. We don't have to worry about whether he's going to switch parties or not.
Right, and I think that, Congresswoman, that, we should really think about for 2010 is, there's all this, the progressive base is dispirited and they're not going to come out. Well, they did for Joe Sestak, and I think they did in Arkansas as well. I mean, there's going to be a runoff now, correct?
That's right. I mean, I think, I look at this and I say, for people who are solid Democrats, the base will be passionate for you. And this is a real lesson for us as Democrats, is that while we're busy out there in some of these districts, we're trying to, woo the independents and the moderates, and that's fine. But you know what? Somebody's got to turn out the vote. Somebody has to be passionate for you, and that's going to be your business.
Mm-hmm. In my opinion, too, Congresswoman, I think that, some of the people that appear to have only been out for their own political benefit, whether it's a Joe Lieberman or a John McCain or an Arlen Specter, are going to get punished at the polls.
That's the message. It isn't just about incumbency. It's about whether you've been an elected leader who really represents the voice of your constituents. And I think this has to be a reality check for all of us, that you can't just game it and play the system. This really isn't about politics. It's about people's lives.
Right, that's right. Speaking of which, let's talk about the health care, because obviously, as we said, that was something the Republicans did a fairly good job of getting enough lies out there that people, I mean, you look at polls, the latest NBC Wall Street Journal poll, 44% think the health plan is a bad idea, 38% think it's a good idea. In the past month, anti-reform health groups have poured almost $4 million into television advertising. I mean, that's something constructive to do. And in the meantime, all of these things that are going to start kicking in are things that everybody's for. So, when people start to see what the health care plan actually is, I think we'll benefit, don't you?
Exactly, Stephanie. This is our job as Democrats. I mean, we own this health care law now. It's not somebody else's. It's not something that was the president's. We own it. And so I say, if we own it, hold your shoulders up, go out and talk about it. Talk to our constituents about what's in it. I know I was at a town hall meeting a civic association just a couple of nights ago, and when I told people that they'd be able to keep their young people on their health care plan until they were 26, still people didn't even know that, and they were so excited. When I said
this is the thing, exactly.
They were excited.
Yeah.
Let's talk about it. Let's own it.
This is what's so frustrating, is that, when they poll, they go, are you against the plan? Yes, we do not like the health care plan. And then, you'll say, literally, right, do you want to keep your kids on until they're 26? Do you want to close the donut hole? Do you want pre-existing conditions to not disqualify? And people are like, well, that's great.
Right.
That is really the plan.
But isn't that the lesson for us, though?
Mm-hmm.
So
right.
Go out and talk about what's in it. Stop just saying, we passed a health care law. Talk about what's in it. Talk about the benefits. People care about their own lives. They don't want to deal in this sort of big picture thing. They care about what the impact is on their own lives, whether it's jobs or health care.
Well, Congresswoman Edwards, so let's tell people right now, you know, there are four key areas of the new law. They're going to be kicking in, you know, either are or kicking in very soon, and that is expanding the coverage to young adults that you just talked about, covering sick people with pre-existing condition or high medical costs, providing tax breaks to small businesses, and helping seniors pay for prescription drugs by closing the donut hole.
This
right?
is huge. I mean, even if you think about the small business provision, you know, the Chamber of Commerce is out there running ads all over the place. Well, the Chambers of Commerce represent the big guys. Let's talk about small business. The IRS just issued rules 2 days ago to let small businesses know how they're going to be able to take advantage of, first, a 35% tax credit to provide health care for themselves and their employees, and then a 50% tax credit by 2011. This is big news.
Right, right, absolutely. I mean, the other thing is the economy. The fact that I think clearly, you know, it can't be said enough that we are going in the right direction, right, on jobs and on the economy. And this is only bad news for Republicans. And, you know, but I think it, certainly that it looks like we're trending in the right direction, correct?
Right. I think I can understand why Republicans don't want to talk about the economy. And it is because it's moving. The trends are up. And they'd like to see the reverse. Look, we created jobs in March, you know, just this last couple of months, 162,000 jobs we created in March. My home state of Maryland created the most jobs of states across the country. We are on the move here. And for all of those folks who are, you know, still attacking the stimulus package, sorry, guys, we stabilized the economy. We put people back to work. And now the private sector is taking advantage of some of those tax credits to begin to hire again. And so it's all good news for Democrats. I think we stay on course. I think, you know, from now until November, there will be nothing but good news to tell about this economy. And I know that the Republicans are going to want to talk about all kinds of other things, and that's why we have to keep them on message.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, and I think that it's interesting. I was saying this about, you know, that frustrates me about the quote-unquote mainstream media. I mean, they still allow Republicans to go. I think it was Mitch McConnell this weekend, Congresswoman, that was saying, oh, the stimulus has killed X number of private sector jobs. And no one challenges him. It's like, what?
Right.
No, it has created X number.
Don't you want to do their homework? And,
yeah.
You know, to do their homework and ask the right questions. And that's why I think, you know, what you're doing and all of us out there saying what is actually happening to refute the message machine that the other guys have is really important. We are creating jobs, not losing jobs like under the previous administration. We're creating jobs. We're fixing the economy, not messing it up like the other guys did. And trust me, if those guys were in charge of Congress, it would be back 10 steps.
Yep. I mean, I don't know. You know, like I say this, boy, punditry is always like, ooh, it's going to be a bloodbath for Democrats in the midterms. And I don't know, Congresswoman. I sense, you know, is some things shifting. And I think, you know, the economy, of course, is key. And I think, like I say, if yesterday's primaries are any indication, people want stronger Democrats, not less.
They want strong Democrats. Yeah. They want strong leadership. And as I said before, you know, I don't know about what's happening on all those other streets across America, but I do care about what's happening on my street. And we tell a message about what's happening in individual homes with individual families, the better people will feel about it, and they'll get jobs all across this country. And can you believe?
Well,
I mean, a year ago we were losing like 700,000 jobs a month. This year, this month we create 162,000 jobs.
And I think that the other thing we've been talking about that I take heart in is that the Republicans' obstructionist strategy doesn't appear to be working, at least this time, on financial reform. You know, I think what's happening is, you know, as they try to slow walk it like they did health care to kill it, the bill keeps getting stronger and stronger, and now they're like, oh, hurry up, let's vote on this, right?
Well, I say, who are these people? So they like the big insurance companies, they like the big banks. I mean, what
big
corporations don't they like? And big oil.
Yeah.
No matter how much it is, you know, pouring out through the Gulf, these are still the same guys who are saying, yes, we still got to do offshore drilling.
Right. Yeah. I mean, and, you know, and meanwhile, you've got Barbara Boxer and other Democrats saying, you know, which is the same thing I've been thinking. There's got to be criminal liability here based on what BP has said in the past and what they're saying now. I mean, it obviously doesn't pass
also,
the smell test.
I mean, for these new pictures that have now appeared, it looks to me like they were actually trying to hide the extent of the it's not even a leak. I mean, it's, you know, it's like, you know, opening your faucets. You know, to describe this as a leak when you see those pictures, it doesn't even do it justice.
Well, yeah, and like I say, certainly, you know, the investigation is not complete, but even just what we've seen so far is like, you know, it appears certainly just on its face to be criminal in appearance, doesn't it?
And what we're seeing now too is, I mean, this is an area like just like healthcare, just like the financial industry. We need regulation. There's an important function for government to regulate the behavior of these private actors. Otherwise, they walk all over us, and then we have to pay the price. This is yet another in a long list of examples where we have not had the kind of regulation that we need over an industry that now is saying they want to limit their liability. Not a chance.
Mm-hmm. Well, Congresswoman, I mean, you know, I like our chances in 2010. You know, if you want to be the party of, you know, big insurance companies, big oil and big banks, then you go ahead. You run on that.
That's right, because those are, I mean, I don't know about your neighbors, but in my neighborhood, those are not our friends.
Exactly. Representative Donna Edwards of the great state of Maryland, thank you so much for your time, as always. We'll talk soon.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. All right. There she goes, Representative. She's
fantastic.
Rocks.
Yeah.
Isn't
and
she?
She's one of those people, like, she's one of the reasons why I get so angry when people go, everybody's corrupt and there's no difference between the parties and just throw the bums out and let's start from scratch. There's some really solid people in there, yeah. And she's one of them doing some really smart work and really trying very hard. And when people talk dismissively like that or feel like, you know, they need to start again. You've missed.
By the way, can I say a couple other things politically? George Reckers, Representative Mark Souter, more evidence that God is a Democrat. I'm just saying, you're paying attention to recent events.
Well, then, what's Richard Blumenthal's excuse?
The Connecticut guy?
The Connecticut guy. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's
I don't think, but you think that's something of the Souter level of.
Whoa. No, but there's no hypocrisy there, but it's still kind of icky to say that you were fighting in Vietnam when you really weren't.
Well, he allowed for the inference thereof.
I watched his press conference yesterday. We'll talk about that when we get back. I didn't have the same reaction you did. 46 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Wow, how does this show stay so fresh?
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show, 51 minutes after the hour. Chris, all I'm saying is when getting into a political argument with me, I think you should keep in mind my history of always being right and your history of normally
always
being wrong.
Always being wrong, apparently. Yeah. Uh-huh.
I'm just saying, you're the one that's always like, oh, Blanche Lincoln, because she's from a conservative area. So they have to be, you know. And it
says no.
I know. I think recent results show that no. We don't need weenie Democrats anywhere, and that's what people are I mean, look at Joe Sestak. No White House support, no union support,
Good for him.
People were saying to me a year old, that's ridiculous, and Ed Rendell and the like, oh, my God.
I never said that.
He's going to get blah, blah, blah.
I was right about Joe Sestak.
I don't remember what you said about that. Anyway, my point is...
Let's not fight, you two.
That's what we do in
anyway,
talk radio.
Anyway, I watched the Blumenthal press conference. To me, Mark Souter, I'm sorry, because it is the, you know...
Sure, that's the hypocrisy is what makes that funny. Absolutely.
Well, it's just another one. It's the George Allen Reckers of this week of the Family Values Party is all. But,
right.
Blumenthal, I sound like I know I've watched every speech he's ever given, but, you know, from what I could tell, he sometimes made it clear that he didn't actually serve in the front lines, and then one time it sounded like he was saying he did, but I don't know that this is
It sounded like he was saying he did, and newspapers ran with the story that he did serve in Vietnam,
and he
didn't call the papers to correct it.
Well, I saw the one speech he said I served during Vietnam, like, or how did he say it? during that era or something. So, you know, that it sounded like he was implying that he didn't actually fight in the front lines.
And newspapers reported that he did serve in Vietnam, and he didn't call it.
So he should have corrected it.
Absolutely.
He also inferred that he was spit on when he returned. That was the big part of it. That was the one that was the most kind of egregious.
That was the most egregious.
It was hate, you know, it was hurtful when we returned, he said. When we returned and they were spitting on us. And mm-hmm. It's like he didn't actually return from
Vietnam.
See, I thought, and in the clip I saw, I thought it seemed like he was saying soldiers are coming back from Vietnam, that he wasn't saying I personally was spit on.
Right. I mean, that's an icky kind of lie. That's not, you know, that's not a funny kind of thing like, you know, the hypocrisy of Souter.
No, it's not. Richard Blumenthal yesterday.
And I regret that. And I take full responsibility. But I will not allow. I will not allow anyone to take a few misplaced words and impugn my record of service to our country.
Well, he didn't serve. All I'm saying is the guy did serve.
However,
you gotta say he sign up and didn't have to.
He was really slippery, and I don't think we need people like that in the Democratic Party. I'm sorry.
Monty in Gary, Indiana, agrees with you. Good morning, Monty.
Of course. Good morning. Yeah, I think every time these sons and daughters of privilege lie about their credentials, and including things like combat, this is egregious. He needs to be dropped immediately, and I'm tired of these, kids of, like I say, he's been an upper crust son for all these years, had things handed to him. He's lying to
Yeah, he looks awfully upper crusty, doesn't he? He looks
yes, he
like something out of a Richie Rich comic book.
I mean, he's lying to gain votes, and it's insulting. So yeah. I don't care if he's left wing, right wing, and people like that need to be dropped from the American scene immediately.
Right. No, okay, I hear you. I was with all the primary excitement yesterday, Chris. I didn't know a lot about this story. I just watched a little of his press conference, and I was like, all right. Listen, Joe Sestak's winning. I don't care.
Yeah, I mean, I'm very happy for Joe Sestak. Absolutely.
Well, and of course, the Souter story, I think, is more egregious in that, you know, this is not a lie of omission. This guy was a family values candidate sleeping with a staffer.
Yep.
Yeah, how's about that little video interview?
Oh.
With his hoochie mama. That was creepy. Lavender Pitt, the official roller derby queen of the Stephanie Miller Show in Tucson.
Morning, mama. Morning.
Hello.
Hello.
Calling with a bit of sunny news from our corner of Arizona, we also had a special election yesterday in which we voted up or down on Proposition 100, which got through and is now going to be a temporary 3-year tax for school funding, which is going to have
a
net effect. Mm-hmm. Yeah, no kidding.
And that's hard to get passed in Arizona.
Oh, yeah, no, because they had this anemic anti-Prop 100 campaign that said tax to the max, but it didn't really get any traction because we have the 41st, you know, tax burden in the country. Mm-hmm. But this basically is going to have the net effect of keeping my class size at 30 as opposed to 35.
Good.
Yep, See, you gotta love our good teachers out there because, boy, oh, boy, how's about this teacher in Texas?
Uh-oh.
Jefferson High School English teacher has been removed from the classroom for singling out a Latino student wearing a Mexican soccer jersey and publicly insulting him. According to the student whose story was corroborated, Augustin Ortiz, what began as a discussion about Arizona's new immigration law escalated to an anti-Latino racist attack. He was wearing a jersey from a Mexican soccer team. The teacher told him to sit in the front row. She proceeded to single him out repeatedly, pointing at him as she made comments like the Mexicans with their attitudes are the racist ones.
Oh, boy.
She allegedly told the class, Mexicans always expect handouts, and soon it's going to be the United States of Mexico.
Well, at least she didn't have an accent, though, so
yeah.
She wasn't trying to teach English.
Yeah, she said it in
accent.
Plain English.
I know, yeah.
Except for that Texas accent
exactly.
That nobody can understand.
Exactly.
The twang.
How come?
Buddy!
Hey, I'm going to teach you guys some English. Listen here, man. Well, settle down. Okay, here we're going to conjugate them some verbs. That's not an
buddy
accent.
Buddy in
you
Columbus
kick
with, sorry. With some Rand Paul crazy fun facts. Hello, buddy.
He's bat blank crazy.
Mm-hmm.
I just read something that the loser in the race in Kentucky tried to call him up and congratulate him, and he wouldn't take the phone call.
Oh. Nice. Classy with a K.
That's political brilliance. Just piss off a bunch of voters.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, the other thing, too, is, again, he's the apple does not fall too far from the tree, but unfortunately, this one was closer to the crazy branch.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
the Crazy Orchard.
Yeah.
All right, we will talk more about that. Rand Paul fun facts. Mm-hmm. And we have a rollicking right-wing world coming up with Carl Frisch as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Oh yeah, those are some fun facts about Rand Paul. He is asked whether he supports the Americans with Disabilities Act. He said he advocates local governments decide whether disabled individuals deserve rights.
Yeah, because that worked so well before.
He also referred to militia people as his private security detail. Okay.
Oh, he wants... Okay.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yes?
Those militia people, by definition, aren't well regulated.
Yeah.
No.
For a strict constitutionalist, you would think.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. This hour brought to you by GoToMeeting. GoToMeeting, the best way to host an online meeting. My listeners can try it free for 30 days. Check it out. Visit GoToMeeting.com. Click on the Try It Free button. Type in the promo code Stephanie. We love it. You're going to love it, too. Be sure to use that promo code Stephanie. All right, StephanieMiller.com, the website. Check it out. You can email us all there. Executive producer Chris Lavoie, voice deity Jim Ward, birthday boy.
He's not here yet.
Oh, he's not here yet? Oh, we'll just hold off on the...
Yeah, we will.
It's his birthday.
The girl in the cake and all that. All right. you can the Hal Sparks video streaming at HalSparks.com. Mm-hmm. Hal, it is hump days with Hal all 3 hours.
Yummy. And
yummy. And you can email us all, of course, at thestephaniemiller.com. It is time for Carl Frisch, everybody.
Carl.
Carl Frisch. True Media Matters for America.
So inviting to me.
Yes, it is indeed. Good morning, Carl Frisch. Welcome.
Good morning. How about that Rand slide out in Kentucky, huh?
Yeah. Rand slide. Ew.
His full given name is, Fountainhead Rand Paul.
Totally. Oh, my God. That's the Ayn Rand aspect. If only that the right-wing Christian-y, Tea Partyist knew Ayn Rand's views on them.
Yeah. Carl,
yeah, exactly.
What the... Go ahead.
No, I'm just happy that... going gulp means driving a party off a bridge.
I was just going to say, this is, everybody keeps saying, oh, I'm so nervous about the Tea Party. I'm like, good. They're forcing anyone sane out of the Republican Party so far. You know, Charlie Crist too moderate, Bob Bennett in Utah too moderate.
And now Kentucky, where even McConnell couldn't pull off, picking the next senator from his own state as the Senate Republican leader.
Yeah. I would think it's the Republicans that have to be terrified this morning, don't you?
Yeah. Last night was not about Democrats losing in any way. I mean, this whole notion, this conventional wisdom that's been being pushed around that last night was about incumbents and wrath of the challenger, is just a bunch of BS. It's the Republicans who campaigned like that, the Tea Party candidates. Democrats won last night. The more solid, Arlen Specter wasn't trusted by Democrats. It's not because he was, an incumbent. It's because he was a former Republican who supported George Bush.
Well, thank you. And, the headline this morning, I'm reading, Obama endorsements don't seem to help Democrats. I think this was a message to the White House, too, that, this is what we elected you for, to get Democrats like Joe Sestak in there and not Democrats like Blanche Lincoln. who are not going to, be strong in getting the things that we want.
Right, and that's exactly the thing. I mean, if this was truly anti-incumbency on the left, they'd be voting for people who are opposed to the agenda in Washington. And in actuality, what they're doing, they're voting for Democrats who are more likely to support the agenda in Washington.
Yep.
Yeah, thank you. I mean, I was saying originally about the polls about health care, it's because it's not progressive enough. So a lot of this anger is coming from the left.
And then the only other race that matters is the House race in Pennsylvania, and Democrats won that. Right. Michael Steele failed again. So he's used to that, though.
Yeah, he was probably drowning his sorrows in some lesbian bondage club somewhere. But all right, let's dive into the right-wing world and see what's doing. Oh, looky here, Carl. I'm in right-wing world. You see, Carl, I don't know if you've noticed, if you've sussed out from being on the program a number of times, that we tend to be a comedy program of sorts. So, I believe, what was the first thing we were talking about? Chris, it's been a running joke that, you know, when Bobby Jindal, you know, was talking about how crazy volcano monitoring was, and then there was immediately a volcano.
Yeah.
That erupted. I just said it's clear that God's a Democrat. And so that's sort of been a running joke, but Guy Rush, I guess, didn't.
Oh, I think maybe we ought to just leave the coal in the ground and go with solar and wind power and geothermal where it's applicable.
So possibly God's working away.
Well, it could be. He's sending us a message.
Yeah. John Denver sang Take Me Home Country Roads, right? West Virginia.
What?
So this is Stephanie Miller, talk radio fame, the first liberal radical to suggest God was a Democrat. Now Ted Turner. Now.
Wait a minute. I'm a liberal radical? I thought I was a suburban radio host.
You are.
Last time you mentioned me.
Suburban radical.
On the Stephanie Miller radio show, radical. Suburban America.
I think Suburban Radical is the name of a new punk band.
Seriously, yeah. That isn't going anywhere.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, you know, I think Rush might have a little crush on you.
I think he does.
I think so, too. Yeah. He keeps knocking the books out of my hands to get my attention.
Every day he reaches for that radio with his formerly nicotine-stained fingers and tunes in to you, Stephanie.
Apparently. Hi, Rush. Okay. Charles Crouch. Ew. Charles Krauthammer on the Britt Baer Show.
The Tea Party, which is behind DePaul, barely existed a year ago. And look what it's done. It helped elect a Republican to take the Kennedy seat in Massachusetts. It defeated a three-term Republican incumbent in Utah. Now it looks as if it may at least nominate a semi-libertarian in Kentucky.
A semi-libertarian?
Semi-libertarian. Interesting.
Yes.
What?
Yeah. Your take on all that.
A dive move. I think that's a diving move, the semi-libertarian.
It is.
It's a triple Lindy. And, hearing them all kind of rally around Rand Paul, given how they've treated Ron Paul over the years,
right,
is quite remarkable. And I have a funny feeling that it won't stay that way.
Well, I mean, first of all, Scott Brown, I mean, you know, I love this stuff gets to be common wisdom. He won't even acknowledge the Tea Party. He didn't.
Right.
He was, you know. He's beginning
to vote a lot more like a Democrat leader.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Glenn Beck on the Fox News on the pastors again.
It's time for our priests, our pastors, our bishops to stand up for the individual rights.
Huh? Hmm.
Your church is either for socialist government or the living of the gospel. It is either about God or government.
The gospel was about socialism.
Yeah.
Pretty much. Yes.
So rendering under Caesar, Jesus was just kidding, right?
Yeah.
The gospel is pure socialism, isn't it, when you think about it?
Pretty
I mean,
much.
It's all about helping the poor and the sick and the, yeah.
There, you've just been brainwashed by being a suburban radical. But
yeah, I'm a radical liberal suburban radio host, as you know.
This is my favorite dichotomy of Glenn Beckisms over the last few months, is that he said that social justice was evil and that you should run away from churches that preach it. You know, most notably is the Catholic Church. And then a few weeks later, he said that he was at the Vatican, and a source high up in the Vatican had told him that God wanted him to continue doing what he's doing. If we needed more evidence that Glenn Beck is certifiably insane, just wait a day.
Exactly. Oh, again with the rush, a second helping. Okay.
We have Democrat politicians. They want the disaster. Mm-hmm. They like the disaster. There's no other way to characterize this. They like the disaster. They can blame it on capitalism. Mm. They absolve themselves from any blame. Obama especially goes out. He trashes everybody but himself.
Yes. You heard yesterday, Carl, he said the Sierra Club should pay for this because it's their fault that we have to go out so far to drill, and that's why this happened, so it's their fault.
Yeah. Rush Limbaugh is an idiot. I don't know what else you could say to a guy that would say such a thing. But what's remarkable is that he continues to say things like this time and time again, and he's still treated as a respectable conservative. It's just
right,
that you can say anything you want to on the right and be considered polite company, but that window is so much smaller for the left.
Yes, and then, you know, it's so many steps to being a radical liberal suburban radio host. And that's the other thing we keep bringing up. Nobody is against capitalism. You know, out of control capitalism with no regulations that completely ignores worker safety and the environment. No. And it's just, it makes it sound like it's just capitalism itself that people don't.
I don't even think that what's happened there is capitalism. When you have corporations that have gotten special treatment, that's not capitalism. That's just, you know, socialism of a different color.
Well, and by the way, if, you know, Barbara Boxer and others get their way, it could be criminalism is what it is. I mean, you know, they want a criminal probe of this. Newt Gingrich. Mm-hmm. Newt Gingrich on the Hannity.
By the early 1990s, I thought, you know, we've proven all the major tenets of modern American conservatism.
Right.
And it never occurred to me that the hard left would just dig in, bury themselves in the academic world, in the news media, in the labor unions, and now have come back more left-wing, more radical, more determined than ever.
You know what else he thought in the early 1990s? He thought, you know, I'm bored with my third wife, but that congressional staffer looks really, really cute.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, I'll do the right thing and divorce her on her deathbed, you know, before I, you know.
I know you're on paper, but just sign here.
Yeah, he's actually saying, you know, Carl, he's thinking of running for president. And he and his wife have to, you know, discuss it. It's probably the first thing is, do you think you'll still be my wife by that time? Or
I guarantee you Newt Gingrich does not run for president. He's not an idiot, as much as he may seem like one on TV. He's not stupid, and we're going to see a lot of this in the coming year of right-wingers who have books to promote flirting with the idea of running for president just to get the extra publicity. He's not going to be the first. He's not going to be the last. We're going to see a lot of people doing this.
Always tell when someone has a book out because they start saying crazier than they normally do even. You're right. Like, what the? Oh, he has a book out. Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, by the way, speaking of people who play idiots on TV, this is in a completely unrelated story. Here's Brian Kilmeade.
I don't know. Why were you expecting the question? I know you have to read the newspapers and be ready. Do you feel as though that maybe they wanted to make sure you didn't win, asking you a question that there's no way to win because it's so polarizing?
Yeah, that was to Miss Oklahoma.
Uh-huh. They stick him with the pageant girls, do they? That's pretty much the interviews he gets.
Well, he sits with a pageant girl every day, Gretchen Carlson.
Yes. Right.
Yeah, she was, Miss America or something like that?
She was Miss America. You know what Miss Oklahoma's answer was, right?
Yes.
To Brian Kilmeade? She said that her answer on the Arizona question did not affect the pageant. So there goes the right-wing talking point.
That's right.
What the fox? Yeah, yesterday, I don't know if you'd heard, there's an Islamo-pandering PC sort of conspiracy in the pageant world, apparently. That only Sandra Bullock can go undercover and figure out.
Yes.
Well, I heard about that. I saw it on Toddlers and Tiaras earlier on A&E. It was only a matter of time before it made it to the big time.
Yeah, it's how the liberals are infiltrating the education system and the mainstream media. We're starting with 3-year-olds with too much lipstick.
Right, exactly.
All right. Carl Frisch from Media Matters for America. See you next week, honey. There he goes.
Have a good one.
All right.
Yay.
Frisch. 19 minutes after the hour. Back with more Hump Days with Hal as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show. In the meantime, you know I get letters, Chris.
Yes, I do.
This one from Debbie in Millfield, Ohio. Steph, just got me some Carbonite. I realized the other day how much stuff I have on my computer I couldn't afford to lose. Thanks. Why, you're welcome, Debbie. You are the smartest girl in class today. Because, you know, I'm telling you, it's like a blowout preventer switch. That's what it is. But it's one that works. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah,
it's the kind of thing you need to make sure you have it in advance, and it works. carbonite. Because if you don't get it now, then it's going to be too late. You know what happens. You get to have that inevitable power outage. Someone steals your computer. Mm-hmm. You have some sort of disaster, and all of your stuff is gone on your computer. It scares me to think what would be gone forever on my computer if it crashed, if I got a virus, if anything happened.
Everything we use for this. Yes, lots of pictures of dogs.
Lost forever.
Listen. Some of them, you know, they'll never make that expression again, and I will be lost forever.
Yeah.
That's, yeah, I am the person that says more than it. Look what he's doing now. Look what he's doing now. Look.
His face is exactly the same. It's exactly the same. She's sleeping.
I think Hal has actually witnessed me playing two polar bears on the loose in the bed, and it is...
That's an actual thing?
Yeah, it's a game she kind of plays.
Oh, no.
I've seen her do it on the floor in the living room as well.
Oh, yeah, Max is the... Fred's the little polar bear cub, and then I'm the zookeeper. I shoot Max with the tranquilizer dart and put the net on him, and it's...
Wow, you're really ill.
21 minutes after the hour, right back with Hump Days with Hal on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller, she has one of these liberal talk shows that nobody listens to.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Listen to Stephanie Miller from a location midway between the loudspeakers. This sequence is repeated several times.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show, 26 minutes after the hour. Mary in Long Island, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Mayor.
Hi, good morning. Good morning. Hi, all. Listen, the Times has this fourth editorial on Blumenthal about, you know, and the Times of all, but it's on the editorial page, said that this, he believes this shouldn't disqualify, they believe it shouldn't disqualify him. It's an aberration, not a disqualifying character trait. I don't know how I feel about this. I'm very upset about this. Now, the thing is, I had suggested to your screener that maybe what they should do, because she said, should he run or not? So I said, why don't they do some internal polling in the state and see how, you know, see what the people think there. They're the ones that are going to vote.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I don't know enough about. I wasn't happy when Chris Dodd decided to step down. I mean, some of the ills and the infractions of the Republican side are nothing compared to countrywide loan. I don't think that was a big scandal. But, all right.
Yeah, I know. I don't know why I wasn't. It didn't strike me as egregious as maybe the more recent political scandals. All right, Jim in New Haven writes, "Dearest voice, dee dee dee, da 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 da. They say it's your okay. We've got that. Don't worry about it. We." And he means that, Jim, in a totally heterosexual guy backslapping, beer swilling sort of way.
Sure.
Happy birthday, Jim.
Thank you.
Happy birthday, Jim.
Oh, and this is very nice. Somebody named Chris wrote you yesterday. Chris, you sent this to me.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, man, you have a delay on your mic for the last couple of days. Please help a brother out. And then you wrote back, it's Stephanie's headphones are leaking sound, and she refuses to turn them down. And then he wrote back, hilarious. Well, I guess I can suffer through it since she's pretty old. The hearing is like the second or third thing to go, right? Couldn't you just turn her mic off? That would fix it. No, that's fine. Thank you.
Oh, wow.
Thank you.
Yeah, there is a still a little bit of a delay.
Huh?
Still a bit of a delay.
Huh?
There's still a bit of a delay.
John in Seattle writes, Jim, Arlen Specter was defeated by the magic ballot theory.
Yes. I think I said that the other day. But yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Thanks.
Representative Joe Sestak yesterday, the hand-picked candidate of the Stephanie Miller newscast.
A win for the people. Over the establishment, over the status quo, even over Washington, D.C.
And I owe it all to Stephanie Miller and a military career.
Right.
What?
Right. Hi, Stephanie Miller, Kingmaker, just mm-hmm. saying. All right, 29 minutes after the hour, back with, who do we have? Representative Bruce Braley, Democrat of the great state of Iowa, next. Everybody's a pundit this morning on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Wow, you can ride my range anytime.
Mm. Do what I do. Protect your irreplaceable computer files with Carbonite Online Backup. Don't wait. Start backing up your computer today with Carbonite. Go to Carbonite.com. Use the offer code Stephanie for my special offer. 15-day free trial plus 2 months free with any subscription. That's Carbonite.com. Offer code Stephanie. All right.
Go ahead and back that gorgeous computer up.
Thank you. Please. Call me Jiggles, won't you?
Thank you, Suter. Thank you, Representative.
Hey, Jiggles, grab a pad and back that gorgeous butt in here.
Get away.
Don't act like you don't like it.
Jim misses me bringing him his pad in Los Angeles.
Is that what the kids are calling it?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Representative Bruce Braley joins us now from the great state of Iowa and pretends that he didn't hear any of that. Good morning, Congressman.
Good morning. It's a great morning to be a Democrat, Stephanie.
That's right.
I think so. You know, that may be the story that's missed. I don't hear a lot. You know, there was a lot of talk that, for instance, Jack Murtha's seat was going to go to a Republican, wasn't there?
Are you saying that John Boehner hasn't been on explaining why they lost a seat that was the only seat that John Kerry won and John McCain won?
Exactly. I heard he was just informed Sunday that Representative Mark Souter would be stepping down, the Family Values conservative, and I'm guessing there was a crying fit or two in Mr. Boehner's office.
I want to hear him go on TV again today for the 7th consecutive special election and say, well, that was a wake-up call.
Yeah, exactly. Because again, obviously you've heard, you know, all kinds of analysis on yesterday. What is your takeaway from what happened yesterday in all these primaries?
I think it's very clear. If you look at all of these contested primaries and the outcomes of those primaries, it reinforces what I think most of us have known all along, is people want elected representatives who are going to be straight with them about where they stand on issues and tell them what they're going to do to come and fight for them in Washington. And I think that theme goes through almost every one of these outcomes from yesterday's election. People want, even if they disagree with you on issues, they will respect you more if you tell them clearly and emphatically where you stand on an issue and why you believe that.
Right. Congressman, if I may say, I wonder if the sleeping giant is not the teabaggers, but is the progressive movement in this country that elected President Obama and these Democratic majorities. I mean, it seems to me that's the message they're sending with Joe Sestak and in the Blanche Lincoln race, which is now going into a runoff, want. Go ahead.
I think you're right. I think that, I brought this up on progressive talk radio. I brought it up in my district. You know, people needed to get engaged because the Tea Party crowd was dominating the news cycle from last August on, and there were a lot of people who were very upset about it, but they weren't really voting with their mouths and with their feet. And I think yesterday we saw a significant recovery of that passion, and I expect it to carry through into November.
Congressman, that was my point, as I was bringing it all back to
Stephanie Miller.
Yes, it is interesting. Joe Sestak has come on our show a lot. You know, we've probably never been able to get Arlen Specter on, have we?
We haven't.
Ed Schultz talks a lot about this, Congressman, as well, is just the power of the progressive movement. That, you know, even when you look on health care, when you find people don't like it, it's because, in many cases, it wasn't progressive enough. You know, 70% of the people supported a public option in polling for a year, correct?
Absolutely, and that's why we were so disappointed that those of us who worked so hard to keep the public option in the House bill, when our options were limited based upon having to deal with reconciliation and, you know, threading a camel through the eye of the Senate parliamentarian's needle. But Joe Sestak's office is right across the hallway from mine, and there's no small coincidence there, Stephanie.
We'll both take credit for it.
There hasn't been a lot of activity over there this morning. I think they're all recovering from their big night last night.
Right, but I mean, don't you hope that, you know, the Obama White House does take that message away from this, too? That, you know, I think as popular as the president is personally, you know, people want strong Democrats that are going to give them what they elected this president for. Because, I mean, you know, you look at Arlen Specter, that's exactly the kind of deal-making people didn't like.
Absolutely.
On the health care bill or anything else.
And we saw that in the aftermath of some of the special deals that have been cut in the Senate and the enormous backlash across the political spectrum in those Senate districts where that had happened. And I think part of the frustration that we were dealing with in trying to explain what was going to benefit people in the health care legislation is that for so long people really didn't know what the final outcome was going to be, and now you've got all these people running around saying, we're going to repeal the bill, we're going to repeal the bill. And you go, oh, really? I've got 50,000 young people in my congressional district who are going to be eligible to stay on their parents' policy. Do you want to go tell them and their parents you want to take that away from them?
Yeah, yeah. And, there you go, Grandma. There's the donut hole back in your prescription.
Yeah, that's right.
Medicine, hey, yeah.
You know, that'll be when you pry it out of my hands, you know.
Yeah, exactly. No, exactly. Well, do you think the White House will take that message from this, that, you know, they obviously, it's not like they can just go, oh, this is our candidate. I mean, they have to really pay attention to what, you know, I think their base is saying, don't you?
They do, and, you know, I have tremendous respect for President Obama and the challenges he faced, but I have been critical of some of his actions for a long time because I didn't feel like he was being responsive to the mood of the people who elected him in the first place. And I think we're seeing some positive signs. He's spending a lot more time out talking to people who have lost their jobs, lost their businesses, lost their homes. And I think that's going to help him frame a message that's going to help resonate heading into November.
Well, yeah, and, you know, no offense to Blanche Lincoln, but unfortunately, you know, I think it was the Blanche Lincolns that a lot of the progressive base were as upset at as Republicans in terms of watering down and slowing down health care.
Well, and, you know, people said, well, you know, Arkansas is a different state, and they are going to treat this differently. And I think we saw last night there's a lot of progressive people in Arkansas who wanted somebody to come and fight for them.
That's exactly what I've been telling my producer, Chris, for a year, who is always wrong because I'm always right.
Hey!
You're a married congressman. You know it. You should just say yes, dear, right? He just has never learned.
When I get home on the weekend, my job is to do everything to keep things on an even keel until I leave to come back.
Just do as you're told. Now, Congressman, what else? I mean, in terms of, boy, it seems like one issue after another, whether it's, you know, we just talked about health insurance and the private health insurance companies. I mean, now we have this very, thank God it seems like financial reform is going to have some teeth in it. That appears to, you know, be happening. But now we have this massive oil spill and Republicans, in many cases, still defending big oil, don't you think?
Yeah, I've been involved in some of the hearings here in the Energy and Commerce Committee, and it's funny. You start to see a subtle shift in their messaging because they have an enormous problem. They have been defending the influence of big oil because of the jobs it creates back home, but now big oil is destroying jobs in their states and in their districts. And it's that long-term future of the implication on the fishing industry, the tourism industry, that is finally making people wake up and realize you have to have balance to some of the decisions you make in your energy policy. And so I think what we're going to see is a much stronger push now to finish the work that we started last year with the clean energy bill in the House and put pressure on the Senate to get something done. We can no longer afford to stick our head literally in the sand and watch big oil have long-term economic disastrous implications for our economy.
What do you think of this, obviously, Senator Boxer and others putting forward this idea they want to do a criminal probe? I mean, you know, it certainly seems to me, based on what is on record that BP has said in the past and now, you know, bears that out.
I think that the Justice Department needs to do everything it can to determine whether any criminal laws have been violated, and if they determine that they have, to prosecute them to the fullest extent of the law. That's how you send a message that you're going to punish and deter people from violating the rules of the game in the future, and that's a very powerful way of sending that message.
Congressman, back to the primaries briefly. Rand Paul winning. Are you scared of the Tea Party movement? He said, "What was? Let me get this threatening quote out. Hang on. I have a message from the Tea Party. A message that's loud and clear and doesn't mince words. We've come to take our government back."
Well, let me just tell you that I recently saw a Tea Party flag from a Tea Party group in Des Moines, Iowa. And the language on the flag starts out very similar to the preamble, and then it goes into to protect our fortunes, our liberties, our wives, our children. Gulp. If that doesn't offend over half of the United States population, I don't know what will. And, you know, that's what we need to do, is we need to just keep letting them describe what their true motivations are. And I think that's, you know, we saw in New York Bill Owens winning his congressional seat because the Tea Party overplayed its hand. And I think this is going to, we're going to see this play out throughout the election cycle.
Well, that's what it seems like to me. And, I, you know, I'm not certainly an expert, but I, all I can see so far is that they're pushing the Republican Party, the Tea Party, farther and farther to the right, to the, in some cases, you're right, to the lunatic fringe. I mean, basically it seems like the message is there's no room for moderates of any kind in the Republican Party anymore.
Right, and yet there's some things that is coming out of the Tea Party that has a legitimate populist concern to it. And I think Democrats are ignoring the practical reality of the makeup of many of our districts like mine, where 40% of my voters are registered as independents. If you don't realize that that underlying populist angst is something we can't ignore, but it's how they frame their response to that concern that bothers many of us.
You have the best response yet to a Tea Party sign I've heard, and that is gulp. I think you speak for all of us. Thank you, Representative. Representative Bruce Braley of the great state of Iowa. Thanks, as always, for your time.
You're welcome.
All right, there he goes. Gulp.
That's funny.
Our lives.
Our fortunes.
We got to protect the women.
They become a little bit. A lot of them are like that. The grunty Tim Allen character, aren't they? Kind of a little, just you know.
Fire me. I rewired it.
You know, the truth is, were that true, they'd actually have an easier time to some degree. But the truth is, they're a little more like kind of, you know, soft racist, chubby redneck guys who think they should be in charge of their family but exert no leadership skills in their own life. They're like, we got to run things for the women folk because they ain't bright enough to handle it, even though my wife does the books for the family, because if we didn't, we'd end up face down in a ditch somewhere. I'm not going to lie. She's the only one with a job because I keep getting fired because I have anger management issues, but I think I'm the kind of person you want in office.
We're promise keepers. I made her promise to keep me even though I'm a jobless loser.
Yeah, believe me, you hang around me a while, I promise you, you're going to be tired of it very fast.
46 minutes after the hour. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
That was strangely arousing.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
It is me, Stephanie Miller. Yeah?
Especially naughty girls.
Dow is down 102 points. Ooh. 51 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12. The phone number toll free from anywhere. Oh, another hate letter for you, Chris, and your right wing tooliness.
What?
Stan writes, whoa, Blumenthal did not say he was spit upon. He referred to veterans being treated poorly upon returning from Vietnam.
I never said that he was spit upon.
You're the catch-all that we blame for everything. people in uniform being treated poorly, and during that time he wore the uniform, he was also using the collective we, referring to veterans of Iraq and Afghanistan, blah, blah, blah.
Never said he was spit upon.
We are forgetting our veterans as we forgot them after World War II, after Korea, after Vietnam, and that is unforgivable. Blumenthal has made thousands of speeches and has gone out of his way to point out that he did not serve in Vietnam. This is not a pattern of deception. It was a one-time gaffe. A story in the Times this morning tries to put the responsibility for the story on McMahon. They're trying to distance themselves now. Why is Chris suddenly believing the conservative PR machine? Well, because that's his job, is to be the right-wing tool of the show, I guess.
That's my title. It's on my business cards.
Okay, Sanchez and Montebello. Hola, ¿qué tal? Adios mío.
Mamacita y los Mokis del Norte. Muy buenos quesadillas. This morning in particular, Mamacita, I hope you don't mind, I have two very important questions for Mr. Squeezy McField Pants, if he's available.
Yes, Squeeze It.
Okay. Squeeze It, got two questions for you this morning. One is a financial question. The other one is about the Arizona elections. I got to read something really quick from Bloomberg Business Weeks. It's about the decline in the Mexican peso. It says here, as long as you keep getting negative news out of Europe, Latin American currencies will keep trading weaker. Now, this all evolves from Germany's financial services regulator, who says it will temporarily ban naked short selling and naked credit default swaps of the European government bonds. So after the repeated decline of the Mexican peso, do you still recommend naked short selling?
I recommend naked long selling.
Oh, baby.
Again. Oh, yeah. Oh.
All right. Don't wind the squeezy up. You know, I was watching the Rand Paul last night, and I was just thinking, boy, he just seems like kind of an asshat.
Yeah, he seems a bit of a
whack job.
Yeah, like a douche.
He's a crazy person. He's the crazy son of a managing crazy person. Like Ron Paul is with his craziness like a kind of a maintenance alcoholic. You know what I mean? Where they manage to hold it together and get through their job, but it's still a major issue. And Rand has never had to necessarily do that. He's just kind of
Yeah, I don't know how you do. You just sometimes smell jerk. I'm like, I smell jerk. After winning Kentucky's Republican Senate primary last night, Rand Paul refused to take the call of congratulations from his opponent, Trey Grayson, according to.
He was too busy. He couldn't. He was at a private golf course in Kentucky. He had his smack. Yeah, he had his, you know, the man of the people, the Tea Party guy, had his. At his victory party at an exclusive golf club.
That sounds kind of elitist.
Yeah.
Rand Paul.
I have a message. A message from the Tea Party.
A crazy message.
A message that is loud and clear and does not mince words.
And incomprehensible.
We've come to take our government back.
From what? I'm not sure.
Women and black
good.
People. Yep. Yeah. Be honest. That's where he's like, oh, why can't I say it?
I think you know what I'm
talking
about.
I'm just saying, we could create some more jobs taking our roads and bridges back since he doesn't want any government of any kind.
Fire departments.
We refuse to use any public works at all. If my house burns down, it burns down.
Grandpa.
This movement, this Tea Party movement, is a message to Washington that we're unhappy and that we want things done differently.
We don't know how or why, but we want some things done in a different way than we perceive them to have been done in some kind of way.
Rand Paul is the kind of libertarian that would like to pay a toll on highways, like every mile.
Yeah.
That's how you pay for the roads. Uh-huh, right.
Shirley in Los Angeles, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Yeah, hi, Steph. I wanted to share a new slogan for you to use for the fall.
Uh-huh.
It says, put the no in November and say no to the party of no.
There you go. That's a lot of no. All right.
I know.
Wendy in L.A. Hello, Wendy.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning.
How are you? So yesterday I was contacted by one of your producers to give you guys an update on the Linsanity situation. The Lindsay Lohan.
Oh, Lindsay Lohan. Wow. Okay.
Yeah. We call it Linsanity in prison consulting industry.
Okay.
So anyways, the update today is, I don't know if you guys know, she has the same lawyer as the TV food chef.
Oh, that guy, yes.
Wow.
Yeah. And she, you know, it's a whole dream team cast of characters. And she has that lawyer. She's due tomorrow in court at 8:30. She's still in con. But her DUI program, her Write on Programs program, which bills itself as the funnest DUI class ever, says she's in compliance. So who knows?
Wow.
Yeah.
So wait, no. So, but if she doesn't show up tomorrow, she can go to jail, right?
She can go to jail either way. If she shows up, doesn't show up, it depends what the judge and the DA think. The DA is asking that she serve jail time. The alcohol class says she's in compliance, but they don't have the same restrictions as the judge imposed on her. So, but if she's
completing her alcohol education in con, don't you think?
Yes.
Well, that's
With
a different kind of alcohol education than one would think she should be doing.
There's a women's prison movie I want to see.
Yeah, oh, and seriously, she's right. She'll be in there for a week before she's teaching them how to make liquor in the toilet out of Fruit Loops and aged Wheaties. You know, like, what are you guys making toilet booze for when you can cook this stuff up right? You get the right flavor of Fruity Pebbles.
Yeah, I'm going to guess she's not going to show up. If she's not going to be able to get back from Cannes by tomorrow, and I think she might be going in the hole, is all I'm saying.
Can you make
joining Bernie Kerik in the hole?
Could, go shack up with Roman Polanski.
Hey.
Right?
Like that. Wait, you can make liquor in the toilet with Fruit
Loops?
That's
what I heard. Is her own lawyer even thinks she's going to jail? Cause
yeah.
That's how
a lot of inmates do it. They don't use their toilet. They use it in the, you know, when they're out in the yard, and they take the water in their toilet and they actually ferment cereal.
Oh.
They get sugar packets and they get it's.
And that's how they get their hooch.
This has been another episode of Prison Talk.
Exactly. Hey, man, just getting you ready. You know what I'm saying. All right.
I mean, seriously, how hilarious is it that George Bush's pick for the head of the Homeland Security Department just went to jail yesterday?
Yeah. Yeah, where's all the whole, like, frog march? Don't we get to celebrate that at the very least? You know what I mean? Where's the video? I want video of him shuffling.
Oh, boy. All right. Mr. Taser, bye-bye. 58 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour, this hour brought to you by GoToMeeting. GoToMeeting, the best way to host an online meeting. My listeners can try GoToMeeting free for 30 days. Visit GoToMeeting.com. Click on that Try It Free button. Type in the promo code Stephanie. Be sure to use the promo code Stephanie. I know, you're giving me that look on Skype, I know.
I'm so worried right now that we're going to be able to
hear
Rita.
Because I know, I have an in-studio guest. It means I'm in charge of the mechanical.
Uh-oh.
It's,
yeah.
It really could be a crisis of epic proportions. StephanieMiller.com.
Do I need to call somebody on that end?
All right. Let's see how this goes. Everybody, it's like magic. Rita Cosby is here live in New York with me.
I love this, you guys. First of all, I love seeing Stephanie here in New York. She's ours now. We're not returning her, you guys.
I did the right button.
It's one way. It's like Hotel California. She comes here and she's not returning, okay?
Rita Cosby is my new best friend here in New York now, Chris.
Really?
I guess because I have kind of a sad loser little single life. I really do.
Yes,
just me and my dog.
We'll change that in about 5 minutes. How's that, guys?
Good. You need to drag her outside every once in a while. Get her some
sun. I'm very
sun.
Good at that. I have a good reputation of doing that.
Now, Rita, you are one of the many people that, because, as you know, we did a little comedy show, who I have mocked on the air in a loving way and then ran into you in person and
always
found
in
you,
a loving way, right?
And found
always.
You to be so delightful.
And then, uh-oh, I like her, uh-oh.
Exactly. And then all the comedy is done. And now here you are. You have a new book out, is Quiet Hero, Secrets from My Father's Past. And you have joined me live in studio. I met you at a radio convention not too long ago.
Yeah, in fact, I remember I was the moderator of, it was about First Amendment rights and so forth. And I said, oh, this is great. And when they told me who the panelists were, I said, I've always loved you. I always thought you were great on the air. And it was fun to meet you. And then we saw again. I remember we ran into each other. We saw each other again here in New York.
Yes.
So I had such an effect. You decided to move here.
Exactly.
I think she's stalking me.
Exactly.
You guys.
It is a very single white female.
Uh-oh. She's on to you.
She refers to the panel that I hosted. Who knew who was on it? Was that Roger Hedgehog?
Cock.
Excuse me?
Roger Hedgehog.
Oh, pardon me. He's
keep,
that right-wing radio host. I always get his name wrong, Rita. That's my mistake. Now, because you've had this illustrious journalistic past, you were saying you were the White House reporter, so you did live in Washington for a while.
Yeah, I was senior correspondent for 6 years and loved it. I mean, I was there at a great time. And in fact, talking about, you know, you're talking about material. I was there during all the, you know, amazing Clinton years. And every day it was like, what happened? What, you know, it was a wild time to cover, you know, Washington events. And I was senior correspondent. And then I moved up here right after 9/11. At the time, I was with Fox News Channel, and they decided to go 24/7 at that point.
Right.
And they started to do weekend programming, and they said, hey, how would you like to come up and host your own show on the weekends? And I moved up here in 2002, and I've been here ever since.
Okay, now I remember. Chris, I don't remember what the loving mocking started over, but I remember that for a time, it seemed that you were always breathlessly yelling over a helicopter of some sort.
I probably was. And in fact, you know what? I am one of those people who... And I'm a big believer in journalism for journalism's sake in terms of getting out there and covering the story. When I'm on a story, you have to, like, chain me to the desk because I want to get out there.
Yes,
and
you'd be
it.
Like, oh, there's Rita Cosby rappelling up the side of a building as a helicopter is taking
You know what it was?
I remember
what it was. I think it was during the Michael Jackson trial.
Oh.
I think it was.
Yes, and, I covered a lot of helicopters.
There were a lot of helicopters.
Yeah.
Yes, that's what's where to start.
I'm Rita Cosby in the Michael Jackson throw.
And I was right there in the middle. In fact, I interviewed Michael Jackson, I remember.
Oh, wow.
And when he passed away, in fact, I was getting calls left and right from people because they said, you know, oh, my God, what was he like? Because he was a very reclusive person. So I covered a lot of the aspects of the trial, but also had a chance to get to know him and his family. And one of the few people who he seemed to trust. You know, it's funny, as a journalist, you guys, I'm one of those people who, you know, I'm always going to ask the tough questions. I think that's what journalists need to do. But I also will try to be fair. And it was interesting during all the Middle East. There's always a Middle East crisis. I shouldn't say, you know, during it, it's always continuing. But, you know, there were obviously ebbs and flows. And when Yasser Arafat was alive, he would always do interviews with me. But then I would always get interviews with Ariel Sharon and other Israeli leaders. And I think that says a lot about both sides said you're going to be tough, but we feel like you're going to be fair.
That'd be funny if you brought the Michael Jackson questions to the Ariel Sharon interview by mistake.
And vice versa.
Yeah.
And vice versa.
Yasser Arafat.
I would have liked to see his answering about the trial questions. Wait a minute.
Right. Yasser Arafat did have a Ferris wheel on his grounds, I will say that. And a pet monkey.
He was a little crazy, guys.
Yeah, but a great dancer.
Rita, what was Michael Jackson like? Because, you know, that film that I thought it was actually sad because he seemed really normal. And it was interesting to see him in that environment working. You're like, wow, he really is a genius. And he's, you know, when you saw him in that work environment, he didn't seem as weird. I mean,
And you know what's funny? Up close, he's an extremely, I mean, talented man, smart man, was very shy. Like, I remember when I would talk to him, you know, hi, Rita, and it was always this low voice, and it was almost, if I asked a question that, you know, I've asked difficult questions of people. We talk about world leaders. I mean, I've asked Slobodan Milosevic, basically, why did you kill tens of thousands of people?
How'd that go over?
Yeah, not real well, to be honest with you. But then when you ask a question to someone like a Michael Jackson, I ask something about his finances. There's always been these questions. You could tell he, like, physically was, like, uncomfortable with it because it was just, to him, that was a very difficult question, even though it wasn't, you know, there's much more severe questions I could ask someone like him. But he was always actually very kind to me and always very sweet, and I did feel sorry for him. I mean, in many ways, because, you know, and all these guys, as you know, Stephanie, and all these celebrities, too, there's all these handlers around them, there's all these people around him, and everybody's sort of wanting a piece of him. And, you know,
it's like my life. I understand.
I saw all the bodyguards I had to get through to get through the Stephanie Miller show. I could feel it was the same feeling. That
sure. To get to the inner sanctum, you can imagine.
Absolutely. I'm surprised you only have 20.
Now, Rita, before we get, I want to get to your book because it is fascinating. But, you know, you obviously have been reporting on the political scene for such a long time. What did you think of yesterday's primaries? What did you take from that as a journalist?
I took it that everyone's got to do a lot of homework. I mean, if you look at what's happening with Arlen Specter, I was really stunned. I mean, I've known Arlen Specter for many, many years. I've covered him, obviously, a long time in Washington. And I think everybody thought he's going to do this move. It was obviously a dramatic move when he left from Republican Party to Democrat. And then to do that kind of a move and then get blown away and pushed out by this guy who the establishment was not really endorsing whatsoever. I mean, Obama went and was pushing for Specter
the
machine.
Well, you know who was. Stephanie Miller. Which I think people are going to start to pay attention to that sort of bellwether.
And by the way, if that's indeed the case, is that the case, Steph?
Yes,
are you
that is.
Oh, good.
Yes.
Okay. Well, if that's indeed the case, you can stand proudly today, my friend, because there were not that many people who were out talking about this guy. And what I think is kind of neat, I'll speak about it from sort of an American versus a reporter perspective.
What I'm feeling from the progressive base is people want real Democrats.
I also think he sort of broke the party mold. He didn't say, I'm going to go with this, I'm going to do this. I mean, you know, he was sort of, even within his own party, he was sort of alienating some members of his party, saying, this is how I feel about certain positions. And I think as an American, whoever you vote for, whether it's Republican or Democrat, I want someone who speaks their mind.
That's right. Arlen Specter yesterday.
It's been a great privilege to serve the people of Pennsylvania.
And then he melted right next to the Ark of the Covenant.
Boy, talk about the shortest speech and the most. He was. You could tell he was.
That was sad.
He was blown away. He didn't defeated. Know what to do.
Yeah. He. You could see the defeat in his face and his body language.
Yeah. This is part two. This was like about the extent of it.
And it's been a great privilege to be in the United States Senate, and I'll be working very, very hard for the people of the Commonwealth in the coming months.
By the way, the single bullet theory was a bunch of horse pucky. I never bought it myself.
Jim, all of your dreams would have come true if he'd said that. Yeah. And,
but he also tweeted that he was going to throw all of his support behind Joe Sestak. So I thought that was.
Does anyone actually believe that Arlen Specter really tweets himself?
As an 80-year-old man who's been in the Senate for 30 years,
can't wait to
tweet
this.
He's talking about Tweety Bird. Yes. Tweety Bird is what he means.
I made a tweet vid, and it got out, and I have to apologize for the content of my tweet vid.
I just thought that was mighty classy of him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or his people.
It's sad. It's always kind of sad. You know, and then I thought Joe Sestak was very classy, too.
Yes. But I think it's an interesting time. And I think, you know, as a journalist, I love politics, as all of you guys do. And I think this November, it makes November even more red hot and more interesting because there's these wild cards. You know, you look what happened in Massachusetts. You look at last night. It's incredible.
Right. Well, you know, and I know as a journalist, and this isn't partisan, although it's kind of funny to us because it's it's always the hypocrisy that's the most fun to report on, isn't it? You saw because you've reported during the Clinton years. This was a Clinton impeachment guy, a family values guy, you know. And wait, here comes the real punchline, an abstinence guy.
Yeah.
This guy, Representative Mark Souter, Republican of Indiana.
I'm not really going to do any questions. I'm going to have difficulty getting through it. It's with great regret I announce that I'm resigning from the U.S. House of Representatives, as well as resigning as a Republican nominee for Congress in this fall's election. I believe it is the best decision for my family, the people of Northeast Indiana, and our country.
See, now is when they start making the good decisions for their family, and then there's a lot of talk about God. And
You know, I've never heard that line before by a politician. This is the first time I've ever heard that. My gosh. It's so funny. It is like, it's sort of like, okay, if they're losing, here's what happens.
Yeah.
Here's what
are they going to come out?
Here's the card.
When are they going to have the guts to come out and go, I am resigning to spend more time with my mistress?
I am resigning so to have more time to bang more cocktail waitresses.
Absolutely.
That's passé, you guys. Come on.
Yeah.
Come
the cocktail waitresses of Ohio have supported my campaign in one way or another.
Rita, as a journalist now, did you see the tape of his mistress interviewing him? Because that was all you could think of. That's his girlfriend. That's his girlfriend.
You know, it is so surreal when you think of these stories. And it's funny, you know, go back to when you talk about Clinton. Because at the Clinton time, when all this craziness was coming out, you're like, what, you know. And as a journalist, it's like sometimes, as you guys know, reality is crazier than fiction between all these characters lately. Mm-hmm. It's like, what?
Yeah.
Don't they get it?
Yeah, yeah. Well, my favorite, because Tom Brokaw had to say oral sex repeatedly.
Well, I'll tell you, it was funny when all this stuff happened with all the Clinton affair, and that was an interesting time as a journalist, because it was a huge story. Everybody was covering it. And I remember one day I got a tip on a certain something that happened with Monica Lewinsky.
Yes.
And I was thinking, how do I say this? And I was in a meeting with, I think, 6 or 7 guys at the time, you know, my colleagues there at the network. And I'm like, okay, this is what I found out. Well, how do we want to phrase this? I think you should break this news.
Now, can you say job or can you say
fellatio? Since Tom broke up, please don't make me say fellatio again.
This is one of those times where I'm like, okay, you can have the scoop.
Yeah.
For Tom Brokaw, it wasn't really the sex part. It was the too many L's in fellatio and oral.
Fellatio.
18 minutes.
That's after. Very good.
Thank
that
God he wasn't.
Very good.
Thank God he didn't reciprocate, or I'd have to say, I don't know.
No, don't.
Are you sure?
18 minutes after the hour, back with more with Rita Cosby live in the studio here with me in New York on the Stephanie Miller Show. Back with more with Rita Cosby live in New York on the Stephanie Miller Show.
It's really weird, but it's also the coolest thing I've ever heard in my whole life.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Journalist Rita Cosby live with me here in the New York studio.
Taking control of the Big Apple, guys.
Yeah.
Are you playing Sex in the City music while they're talking about running around?
Chris LeBoy, birthday board, Jim Ward, and Hal Sparks in the LA studio, of course.
Yes.
I know Rita's already so nice, Chris. She's offered to help me with anything in New York, so she is my new dog walker and my new super.
Wow.
I just hired her, so it's very exciting.
I've been promoted, you guys. Uh-huh. I was very impressed. Actually, her dogs are gorgeous. I would not mind walking them. They're so beautiful.
Yeah, that's not the. It's not the look that's the hard part to walk.
Oh, so I've heard.
Yeah.
So you get to return them. Remember, it's like children. If you know,
oh,
you can go visit.
They get to
you
return.
Go.
They get to return you.
Oh,
yeah.
I see.
You know, Hal stays with me when he comes to New York, so he's seen the crazy up close. Is it, you know?
Oh,
yeah. The longer you live alone with your dogs, the crazier you get. The more intricate your conversations get with them. It's you know.
Does she stay up at night and talk to them for hours?
If you come to my place, you'll see the polar bears on the loose from the zoo routine. It's a whole one. Mm-hmm.
Well, the dogs are beautiful, you guys. I did just see them online, which I thought was, they're gorgeous.
Oh,
I was telling her.
Justice.
You know, it's funny. I was telling her, you know, here I have this new book coming out. As you guys know, it just came out. And we have these amazing pictures in the book. And my father, we grew up in a real dog-loving family. And my father's going through these pictures here, these amazing, you know, dramatic pictures from the time at war. And, of course, he was moved by those. And then he comes to this one shot. He's like, oh, that's Nikki the dog. And, you know, he went out. So I'm a dog lover. So I appreciate
Nikki's beautiful.
It.
Nikki's is a beautiful book.
Oh, stop
he
it.
Was.
She speaks dog. Shut up.
Okay.
The book is...
I
Quiet Hero, Secrets from My Father's Past. This is fascinating. You know, I'm reading the, it says, journalist Rita Cosby surprisingly knew little about her father Richard's harrowing past, except that he had left Poland after World War II and had scars all over his body that he refused to talk about. One Christmas, when Rita was a teenager, her father abruptly announced he was leaving. After years of estrangement, Rita finally persuaded her father to break his silence. And tell us what you found out, because this is, I mean, this really is a fascinating story.
You know, I had been on the most amazing year of my life, truly, the most amazing journey. You know, we talked about, you know, the different stories and places I've gone, and I've been very blessed. But this just opened the floodgates and has been the most incredible experience for me personally. And what happened was, I'll go back to sort of the first time I saw something different about my father. And, you know, I had to go back and think of sort of when did I realize my father maybe didn't look, I mean, he doesn't sound the same as out of everybody else. He's from Poland. He's got a heavy accent.
Right.
I grew up knowing there was something different. And at the dinner table, my father would talk about World War II.
Well, you and I did our Polak bonding during the break.
We did, yeah. And I know I'm with a fellow Polish person here, which I love. When you mentioned Buffalo,
Big Polak. Yes,
big,
I am.
Big Polish community, which I'm very proud of. I love that. And when I was growing up, I remember this experience when I was 8 years old. I was camping in the shot where we saw Nikki. And I was camping, and I remember my dad coming back. My dad became a really great athlete, which is pretty incredible from going from being a starving POW, and a lot of them had health problems. My father did the dramatic, took amazing care of his health, tried to reverse all the problems from war.
Well, he was in the Polish resistance in his teens.
He was, and my father was there when the war broke out, Stephanie. I mean, he physically, it's an incredible, you know, I'll tell you, I'm so proud of my dad. You know, my father, when he was 13 years old, saw World War II break out. He actually saw the planes hovering above.
Well, he saw his hometown get decimated by the Nazis,
He physically saw the whole thing, but he first saw the planes hovering above, and he was arguing with his father. His father said, oh, isn't it great the Polish Air Force is doing exercises today? They just assumed it was like a military show. And then the next thing, you know, the bombs start dropping and flattened.
Man.
But then from my end, here I was 8 years old, and my father comes back from a run. He takes his shirt off. And I remember seeing all these scars on his body, and he's got a big scar, you know, even still here it is many, many decades later on his arms, all over his arms. And I remember saying to my mother privately, you know, what happened basically to Dad? I thought maybe he got in a fight or something happened. And my mother said, your dad went through tough times growing up. We don't talk about it. End of subject.
Wow.
And it was always this thing that I've always wanted to learn about and know who my father was. And then it was end of 2008. My mother had passed away. We went through a storage locker, and I found this old, tattered suitcase, and I couldn't believe it, you guys. You know, everybody has these things in storage and lockers, and I'll tell you, you know, what was in it.
We have to take a break. When we come back, we'll hear more about this. I mean, just as fast in relation to today's kids, because today's kids are like, I mean, you couldn't get the new Wii game when it came out? What do you mean a tough childhood?
And I'll tell you what a tough childhood is when you hear it after the break.
The Polish resistance. Okay. 29 minutes after the hour, we will hear more from Rita Cosby as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Why don't you dip yourself in flour and make a skank biscuit?
All right.
Been there, done that.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. 34 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-1-2, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. We are joined live in studio here in New York by Rita Cosby, a journalist extraordinaire. She has an extraordinary new book out about her father called Quiet Hero, Secrets from My Father's Past. The website is quiethero.org.
Mm-hmm. And we have a link to it up at stephaniemiller.com. So.
Rita, during the break, was telling me that she remembered whining one time that she couldn't get a dress she wanted when she was a kid, until she suddenly realized her father was in the Polish Resistance and wore the same suit for what?
6 months.
Oh,
can you imagine? I'm talking about, like a typical teenager, you're bratty. And going through this, I had to bare my soul in this book, and my dad did, too. And, I always admired your dad, my father. Always you look up to your parents. And I knew my dad had obviously gone through tough times, but I had no idea the magnitude. And I remember going back here. I was a teenager. I'm complaining about, I didn't get this dress, and I didn't get this. And I remember, having this big fit, and my dad furious about it, and I remember he gave me a whack at on the butt, not a horrible whack, one of those, and I certainly deserved it, I remember, through this whole experience talking with my dad, because my dad opened the floodgates to it, he was finally ready to tell a story, and then my dad tells the story of it's right before he's taken into captivity, his comrades come, he's laying there on his deathbed. Because he had been very severely injured by a mortar shell, and he's in there's no hospitals. It's in the middle of the war.
And he went to a German POW camp.
And they take him to a camp. And right before they go to the camp, they give him a suit because he was drenched in blood. So his comrades actually came and snuck in and they gave him this blue suit. He ended up wearing that blue suit, you guys, for 6.5 months in a POW camp. And he ended up selling it for a loaf of bread that he could share with his best friend in the camp so they could get enough energy to basically escape. When you look back, you go, how could I have been complaining about a dress? He must have said, who is this? Talk about a bratty teenager. Who is my daughter or anybody else to not get the perspective? But I didn't know it then.
So just to review, he spent his teens in the Polish Resistance. He said that at that time, I'd rather die with friends than live with strangers. We go to the front lines of the resistance in your book. We got to the capture. He weighed 90 pounds. He and a number of POWs made a daring nighttime escape and were ultimately rescued by American forces.
My favorite moment, you guys, and this is what I call this quiet hero, because my father is one of these amazing greatest generation guys.
They didn't want to talk about it.
They didn't want to talk about it. It wasn't like, my dad said, I'll tell you everything. I had to really kind of still pull it out of him for this book. Here he is. He doesn't have his blue suit anymore. He has this, another set of rags at that point, and he's with other POWs. They're in the middle of no man's land. It's still, it's April 45, and there are still German forces around. The SS was a little north of them. They found out. They didn't know what was. You break out of camp, but you're in the middle of a war zone still. Where do you go? So they're hiding, and all of a sudden they're on a camp road, and my father talks about a plane came by. And they dove for the ditches because they thought this is a German dive bomber, and this is it again, basically. We've tried our best. This is it, guys.
Right.
The plane comes by again, and it drops out a note. And it turns out to be a chocolate bar with a note wrapped around with a red ribbon.
Wow.
And one of the guys walks over to it, opens it up, and it says, basically, welcome. You have 15 miles to walk and you're free. American troops are waiting for you. There are no troops between you and our lines. And my dad walked then 15 more miles and walked about 50 miles, you guys, and he was free. And my dad talked, one of the most amazing moments for me personally. I mean, here it is. It's been almost 65 years, and my dad, when he told that story, was in tears. And to think of my father after, 5 years in the Polish Resistance, 5+ years in the Polish Resistance, then being in captivity, then the whole experience, and can you imagine how great it was? And so when my dad stumbled upon American troops, my dad every day
and then he got
counts
back,
his blessings.
Right, and then he got to go back to Poland and got a hero's welcome. And it's
That was the best, Stephanie. And, along this journey, my dad never said he would go back to Poland just because it was so painful for him, all the memories. He lost so many comrades. And then in the middle of this book, that's why I say this book was not just a book, it was a journey. And my dad said, maybe I'd go back. And of course, as a journalist, I didn't want him to change his mind, so I worked on it right away. And I had just met the Polish president, who passed away, unfortunately, in the plane crash. I just met him here in New York. And so through my contacts here in New York at the New York consulate, I said, look, my dad has said maybe he'd go back. And I could never convince him from a no way will I go to Poland, but from a maybe I can convince him.
Wow.
And about a couple days later, they said the president wants to invite you and your father. And it was the most, how amazing. My dad, you guys, in 1944 in October, literally held at gunpoint, you know, not a shirt on his back, you know, shoved into a rail car and taken to who knows where at that point, a POW camp, comes back and gets this amazing, he's at the presidential palace.
My dad was in World War II, and he was an assistant prosecutor at Nuremberg. And
That's right. He
never talked about it either. I mean, now it's one of those things where I go, God, I wish I'd talked to him about this more. You know, he passed away when I was only 21. So, you know, I think I didn't even have a sense of the history in order to talk. So, I mean, this is lucky that you got to do this at your age and talk to him and really
get his... I feel so blessed. And it's, you know, it's funny, Steph. I have so many friends who've said to me, oh, my God, I wish I had talked to my dad, or I wish my father had opened up.
Yeah.
And this part of history, guys, is so important. I mean, these, you know, when you think about what my father went through, and obviously the experiences of your dad, Steph, and I mean, these are huge pieces of history. And there's not that many of my father's case in the Polish uprising.
Yep.
There, no wonder he got a hero's welcome, because there are not that many of them alive. And it is such an amazing story. You know, my father,
trust me,
is heroism.
Yeah. It wouldn't be the first time that I thought, you know, if only I wasn't such a self-involved little twit, maybe I would know more.
But you know what? It's hard. You know what? In credit, in defense of you, Steph, you know, it's hard, because in my father's case, even though he was finally, I think what happened, and I found these items of my father's past in that suitcase that we talked about. And then my father, it was sort of that confluence of finding these pieces and me having more information.
Right.
And then my father being old enough, even though my father became a great athlete, he's 84. And I think he started to think of his own mortality. And that's why he opened up. He felt like, okay, my daughter, the journalist, has been trying to get it.
You know what? I want my 87-year-old Republican Polish mom to whip up some pierogies and pigs and blankets for him.
Oh, my gosh. He would love that. He would love that.
I will get her right on that after the show.
And speaking speaking of the Polish heritage, it is amazing. Now I've learned, you know, it's funny. I didn't really have too much of that in my past, because my father shut it totally off.
Yeah, didn't talk about it. Yeah,
It's opened the floodgates, so I'm a big pierogi fan, guys.
We're going to be flooded with pierogis here in the
And that sauerkraut thing that you make for Thanksgiving.
I make Polish sauerkraut.
Oh, I didn't know that. She didn't tell me.
Good. Mm-hmm. It's good.
Uh-huh.
And the other thing, too, guys, the other thing I'm also hoping with the book, too, is we're also partnering with the USO, by the way.
Okay.
And they have a huge campaign that we're launching. We're partners with them. And it's a $100 million campaign. It's called Operation Enduring Care. And it's to raise that money to build facilities for wounded soldiers, also fund all these other great, like Wounded Warriors and TAPS and Snowball Express. So we are giving a portion of our proceeds from the book to this amazing program for the USO. So I hope everybody helps.
QuietHero.org is where you can go to find out about
and
that.
Once again, we have a link to it up at stephaniemiller.com. So.
Thank you, guys.
I stuck my toe once.
You need to talk to my dad. You know what's funny, you guys? One of the things I talk about in the book, you know, as I remember I had, I fell, I had a scar on my leg, and I thought, oh, I'm going to show my dad this wound, like I'm so tough, you know, looking at his wounds. He looked at me and laughed. And I remember thinking at the time, oh, my God, they're going to have to amputate my leg. My leg is, you know, has cut on it. And my dad looked at it and said, carry on. So I think he'd give you a punch in the nose if you talked about your stuffed foot. He's one tough dude, you guys.
Wow. Now, I got to get your take on another major story, because it seems to me if you were reporting for someone right this second, you would probably be scuba gear in the Gulf, because you would want to know what is happening underwater. Isn't that the frustrating thing about this as a news story? We don't really exactly know how bad it is or what.
We don't, and then we're hearing, of course, so many different sides. I mean, of course, the oil company is like, oh, we've got it under control, and then you hear from environmental experts who say this is just an enormous catastrophe. And I think, you know, I'm a big, you know, I care certainly about the environment. I think it is a very serious concern, and I think we don't have a handle on it.
And the breaking news this morning, which is very frightening, is that, you know, the slick has been captured by the loop current, right, Chris, which they have talked about as being, one of the possibilities, which will draw water from the Gulf through the Florida Keys and up into the Gulf Stream along the Atlantic coast.
And they keep being forced to show more explicit films of what's going on, and it looks worse and worse the more you see
it. Doesn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, you keep looking at that going, oh, man, that is. And thank God the matron saint of the Stephanie Miller Show, Senator Barbara Boxer, yesterday talking about a criminal probe.
What was said is, we can handle this. And what was said after it was, essentially, we can't handle this.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, she was referring to a BP statement,
Before
in 2009.
Right.
Yeah.
When
which
they,
said,
they actually,
which claimed,
yeah.
in the event of an unanticipated blowout resulting in an oil spill, it's unlikely to have an impact based on the industry-wide standards for using proven equipment and technology for such responses.
Proven equipment and technology was the part where they would have lied to Congress, because they immediately said after this, all this, we are trying as best we can, but we are using unproven methods.
Yeah. Yeah. In 2010, they say they claimed uncertainties with the methods used to stop the oil leak because they haven't been tested in these conditions before. So, yeah, I mean, how is that not a lie?
And also, you know, the nonchalantness of this head of the company. When you see him on, you know, some of the things that I've seen where he's been quoted, it's so like, oh, don't worry. It's like, whoa, you know, his verbiage, you know, in essence is, you know, and I understand what he's trying to do. He obviously, you know, his job is to calm everybody down and try to, you know,
try to weasel out of it.
Yeah, basically. Yeah. Exactly.
Senator Ron Wyden yesterday, Democrat of
Oregon. It is long past time to drain the safety and environmental swamp at the Minerals Management Agency, which, of course, is the lead federal agency over oil drilling.
Yeah, and they're still the MMS is still trying, avoiding sending someone to these hearings.
Ken Salazar has been raked over the coals quite a bit. He's been really evasive, too, which makes me angry.
Well, I mean, actually, he said it yesterday, too. There's plenty of responsibility to go around, which is what I was just going to say. But Ken Salazar yesterday, do we have that one in the
There's
Interior Secretary?
There's plenty of responsibility and to go around. That responsibility, I will say, starts first with the Department of Interior and the Minerals Management Service.
It would seem, Jim, the phrase oversee would mean that there would be somebody there
Oversight.
That would be... Yes. Mm-hmm. Looking over what the oil companies
and
are
stopping
doing.
Them from doing things that are potentially dangerous. That would be good.
Yeah, like for instance, going, by the way, do you have that little doohickey switch that might...
acoustic switch? Yeah.
Yes.
That they have in Brazil and Norway?
Yes, exactly.
And it is shocking because here we are, America, you guys, and we've had issues with spills before. I mean, we, of course, obviously know Exxon Valdez, and there's been issues. It's not like this is something that is like an unforeseen issue. Mm-hmm. And the fact that there has not been the appropriate oversight and that there wasn't the mechanism in place is shocking. And I think it's so irresponsible.
Yeah, well, you know, you mentioned in America, you remember after Katrina, did you see those pictures from around the world, what other countries levied? Look like, and then what they look like here in America. I mean, you're like, oh, and that's just okay.
We make
and,
stuff that
and
blows
you hear
up.
About the folks, and you hear about the folks who've been complaining about it too. Now, you know, that was the case in Katrina too. It was like, you know, there were all these experts who said, look, I even was down in New Orleans X before, and these local even experts in New Orleans who have been setting up the warning signs forever, and this, now we're hearing the same thing here.
Yep, absolutely. 46 minutes after the hour, back with more with Rita Cosby live in studio in New York and various mookage. In the L.A. studio on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Oh, my God, that's kind of hot.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Mars needs Stephanie Miller.
Pump up the volume, pump up the volume, pump up the volume, this.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show, 51 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Tomorrow, Jonathan Alter joins us. Oh, he has a brand new book out.
Yes, he does.
The Promise, about Obama's first year, and, of course, Face the Grayson with Congressman Alan Grayson, our wildly popular weekly feature.
Not the Grayson who was just defeated. Different guy.
Yeah, not Trey Grayson.
The Winnie one.
Alan
Grayson. The Winnie Alan Grayson. We are joined live in studio by Rita Cosby here in New York. Who also has a new book out, Quiet Hero, Secrets from My Father's Past, which is a really fascinating. And you can go to quiethero.org to find out more information about it. All right. So speaking of people with books out, that Newt Gingrich has been awfully chatty, hasn't he?
Perfect. He's been awfully chatty. Well, that's what you do when you have a book, you know?
Mm-hmm. Well, yes.
Hopefully Jonathan Alters will not be on talking to crazy the way you seem to be saying that when someone's selling a book, they kind of go off.
Exactly. Rita Cosby's been here almost an hour, Helen. She has not said anything ridiculous.
So I think it's a right-wing affliction.
Give me time, you guys.
I think it's mostly a right-wing affliction. I'm going to go there.
Yes.
Yeah.
He's arguing that the liberals in Congress and the Obama administration are trying to create a country which no longer resembles America. He claims the secular socialist machine represents a great threat to America, as Nazi Germany or the Soviet Union once did.
Oh boy. Yes.
Well, I can talk
like
from the, you know, from yes. the Nazi Soviet Union perspective, having spent all this time with my dad. And obviously, look, we live in a tremendous, tremendous country. And I will speak, at least I'll just speak from my dad's perspective of on the flip side, I'm not going to get into the Newt Gingrich thing, but what I will say is how important the values that this country is founded on. And I think I'm going to go back to what happened last night, you know, at the elections.
But for anybody to make a Nazi analogy about people in America, I mean, this is when you know you've gone off the crazy train. Is it Chris Wallace on Fox News said that's a little crazy, isn't it? You know, that's a little over the top. Even the former Republican Congresswoman Susan Molinari said his comments were outrageous and crazy. I get when you're selling a book, but I mean to really to make an analogy, a direct analogy to this president or these Democrats as Nazis or just
or communists at the same time as if they're the same thing.
Right.
Yes. Exactly. I'm trying to get you to say something bad about Newt Gingrich, but you
won't. I can tell.
She's not falling for it.
She's not going for it, frankly.
Yeah. All right, let's move on to another right-wing hypocrite. Family values man, Representative Mark Souter, who apparently was still talking about values yesterday as he resigned.
It has been a privilege to be part of the battle for freedom and the values we share. Hmm? It has been a great honor.
We, Kimosabi?
Mm-hmm.
To fight for the needs, the jobs, and the future of this region where my family has lived for over 160 years.
Oh,
that was
well,
extra
he's a suitor, so that, you know, that, right now the name kind of gives it away.
Right, exactly. my family's lived there. Well, I was away on vacation with the female staffer.
He changed his last name from Man Whore.
Right.
Didn't you love this part? The part about my wife really wanted to be here, like all wives want to be here at these press conferences.
I sinned against God, my wife, and my family by having
awesome.
A mutual relationship with a part-time member of my staff. In the poisonous environment of Washington, D.C., any personal failing is seized upon, twisted for political gain.
Just like we did with Clinton.
I'm resigning rather than quit my family through a painful, drawn-out process of which any legal question would have been clearly resolved and I would have been exonerated. But the political price to pay and the personal price of my family was not worth it.
Oh, he's resigning.
Diane and my family were more than willing to stand here with me.
Sure.
We are a committed family. But the error is mine. And I should bear the responsibility.
But I won't.
Quite frankly, I'm sick of politicians who drag their spouses up in front of the cameras rather than confronting the problem that they caused.
Rather than not having the affair in the first place.
It's my responsibility, but I'm such
a victim. You guys are the latest. Mark Sanford, too. You know, I mean, during all this craziness, his wife is coming out and been doing some, you know, appearances and different things. And at the time when she's out there, he's out there still with his girlfriend now. It's like,
he's entirely too chatty, that guy. I think, as everyone knows, I'm here this weekend banging my girlfriend. No, we don't know, and we don't care. Please shut up.
Well,
we're trying to see if we can repair. We don't care anymore.
But he's so noble that he's not putting his wife through that. Isn't that wonderful that not dragging her
you know,
up
I got to drag her up here. I respect my wife too much to drag her up in front of the cameras.
Right,
I didn't
care
so
about
much
her so much.
While I was at the motel.
I respect her too much, besides the bitch wouldn't come. I mean,
I didn't
she's at her lawyers.
God, play that traditional role of the pained spouse at the press conference. I'm sorry, I have to say, I think Dina McGreevy was my favorite. She looked like she had just been hit in the head with a plank right before.
Yeah.
Can you imagine? Hi, honey, I'm coming out, and would you stand next to me?
You know what? That is so sad for the wife, though. Right. I mean,
I know.
It's got to be so embarrassing.
Well, you always look at it, and you know, it's funny when you think of the whole
thing.
How about Gail Haggard
in the minivan? No, we can't talk about the crystal meth and the hookers now. We have soccer.
Right.
Exactly. Or you think about the Spitzer, you know, you think about him in Spitzer's press conference,
right.
You think about his wife. You always, that's almost, sometimes it's even more of an image than the person himself.
Yeah.
Well, and also those pictures, you know, when McCain was spoken during the campaign, he was actually supposedly having an affair at one point. And then Cindy McCain is standing next to him with a cast on her arm.
Right.
Next day. Wow.
A little bit of Tiger Woods.
She has nothing to say about that if she knows what to do.
She slipped in the shower. That's the story we're going with.
The plate in my head is a real bone cracker.
As I leave public office, my plans are focused upon repairing my marriage, earning back the trust of my family and my community, and renewing my walk with my Lord. I humbly ask you, for the sake of my family, that you respect our privacy in this difficult time. I have no further comments.
Respect my private parts.
He's doing what? Repairing his work with his lord?
Closer, my lord. That's what he's going to a hymn with that one.
Oh, because he's walking a little bow-legged now because he's been...
Stop it!
Whoa!
A little chafy.
It is incredible, though, you guys. It's like, you know, that I'm above it all. I'm not going to bring my wife in. I'm not going to... Come on.
Responsibility is mine, and all those darn politicians in Washington.
Yeah.
How dare they do this to me?
Right. How dare they contaminate him so much? Right.
That's the nutty part of this, is he literally made this about the Washington establishment. Yeah. Literally, this is his Tea Party moment.
All right.
Yeah.
The woman is Rita Cosby. The book is Quiet Hero, Secrets from My Father's Past. The man is Hal Sparks. The website is halsparks.com. Is it nothing?
And make sure we go to quiethero.org, everybody, because some of the proceeds are going to USO, to a great cause. And I think more than anything, you guys, it's going to inspire you about what it means to be an American and get to know your parents.
See you tomorrow on the Stephanie Miller Show. Thank you, Rita.